Listen up. Hear the good news. Get the announcements. We're going to have a baby. I got the promotion. I've been accepted at the university. We're engaged. I'm announcing today my candidacy for President of the United States of America. Well, there are some announcements that shape all of life, and there are some announcements that shape much of history. They are the big news, the huge revelation, things we've wondered about for a while. We wondered if he would ever pop the question. We wondered when she would become pregnant. We wondered if that promotion to manager would ever come along. We wondered if he would really be accepted at that university. And we've imagined that someday he might be a presidential candidate, but now we know the mystery is over. The announcement is public, and everybody can know. And there's an excitement that goes with turning mystery into understanding, that everybody around you can know what previously was hidden information. And it's the same way with God. God, who had a great hidden secret, a mystery that was kept for generations, for thousands of years. And then one day he decided to go public. Oh, it wasn't a decision made that day. He had decided long before. But when the announcement came, the angels of heaven were silent. The first recipients were so dazzled that they were bewildered. The mystery that could not be more important. And so we're going to do some serious Bible reading about one of the New Testament mysteries. And blessed are you today if you brought your own Bible with you. But if not, we'll lend you one that looks like this. It is a blue church Bible and right there in front of you. And let's do some exploring. First of all, in Romans chapter 16, that's on page 1769. Romans 16, verses 25 to 27, is actually a benediction. And usually we think of a benediction as a statement that is made at the conclusion of a church service, but it is not necessarily so. It's a combination of two words, bene, which means good, and diction, which is to say, so it's a good saying. It is a blessing. Romans 16, 25 to 27, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. So in this benediction, we have the telling of some of the background of the mystery. It is a mystery for ages past, thousands and thousands of years, generations that didn't know, although they had hints. There were clues. Except from your own experience, you know that clues make sense after you've figured it out. But on the first side of the mystery, they just don't always fit together. So it's easy to look back and to see all those clues and all those hints and put them together and somehow make sense of them. But those ancient people, they struggled and couldn't quite get it. Maybe it's something like a crossword puzzle, and I will confess to you, I'm not a very frequent worker of crossword puzzles because I'm not very good at them. I've started a bunch of them, but I've never actually finished one. And that's because, I either need to go to a first grade crossword puzzle or I need to learn more about some esoteric things. I look at words that I don't know anything about in art or in history or in music or in science. And I think to myself, if you just give me a few, if you just give me three or four extra words, then I could finally finish the whole thing. And I can't do it without those. I can't solve the mystery. And that's the way it was with the mystery of God. Earlier generations could fill in some of the words, make sense of some of it, but there were a lot of blanks that were left. And then came Jesus. In the word of John, in his opening verse of his gospel, he said that in the beginning was the Word, and that the Word was Jesus. And that then finishes the crossword puzzle. It gives the information you need, the Word, that without Jesus, no one ever could have figured it out. But with Jesus, it becomes amazingly easy. Now, I have a confession to make to you, and that's supposedly good for the soul, that I have tried to do some crossword puzzles in those crossword puzzle books. Maybe you don't know that the answers are in the back. Now, I've never copied an entire crossword puzzle. I mean, I've never stooped that low. But I have gotten a little help, you know, with just a couple of words. And then when I can get the last letter or the first letter, then I can put it all together. And that's the way it is with this mystery of God, that we get a couple of words. Actually, it's a person, Jesus Christ. And when you have Jesus Christ, then it all fits together and it all makes sense. This is explained in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. That's on page 1818. It is still the same author, Paul, writing about this same mystery of God that wasn't known for thousands of years until Jesus came. And so he writes in Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, that God made known to us the mystery. He told us what he willed in Jesus. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. There's the word. To be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. So at exactly the right time, God gave the word in order to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, or to solve the puzzle, even Christ. That God solved the mystery with Jesus, so that the crossword puzzle of eternity comes together at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, where every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So what is this mystery? All right, people didn't know for a long time. Now we know. It's sort of told. Well, but what is it? Well, the mystery is that the good news of Jesus is for everyone. You say, well, I knew that. It's not that big a secret. I've heard that before lots of times. Right. Just like you've heard E equals MC squared lots of times. But there isn't an outside chance you could have ever figured that out by yourself. Without Einstein, you wouldn't know anything about it. And even today, there's a whole bunch of us here that take E equals MC squared, and the only parts we know anything about is the equal sign and the squared sign. And the E and the M and the C and the theory of relativity sort of escapes us. So just because we've heard something a lot of times doesn't mean that we could have figured it out by ourselves, and it doesn't mean that we fully grasp or understand the significance of what it's all about. And so it is with the mystery of God that he reveals. The good news that Jesus is for everyone. There's a fuller explanation of this in Ephesians chapter 3. So this time, I want you to take a look at page 1820, and we're going to actually read a major part of the beginning of this chapter's writings by Paul, but it's about a third of the way into it that we need to give our special attention. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery, made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Now, this is the key part. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ. That's the key statement. Let's read a little bit more. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, that is, the God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which is accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Now, let's understand that in the ancient world, every nation, often every tribe, and sometimes every family had their own god. So the Egyptians had Isis, and the Greeks had Zeus, the Romans had Jupiter, the Philistines had Baal, and Israel had Yahweh, or Jehovah. And everybody thought their god was better than everybody else's god. And everybody thought their god could beat up your god. And that's why they'd go off to war approximately once a year. And at the end of the battle, there would be the slaughter of one and the victory of the other. And it was assumed that the stronger god won. They had some interesting sidelights on this. They would say that some gods are better in the mountains and other gods are better in the valleys. And what you don't want to do is get caught with a valley god in a mountain battle, because he'll probably lose. So you need to get your god fighting on the place where he's most comfortable. And they also, out of this identification of their local deities, tended to look down on other people and other people's gods. So they were very ethnocentric, and they were very exclusive. So the Greeks, for example, they had their gods and thought their gods were superior to everybody else, and they referred to anyone who was not a Greek as a barbarian. The Romans had their gods, and they pretty much assumed that anybody else could be enslaved and treated as if they were not human because they were inferior to the Romans. And the Hebrew people did pretty much the same thing. They said they were the chosen people and that Yahweh was the stronger god and that everybody else was a Gentile. And one popular notion in the first century was that anybody who was not a Jew, who was a Gentile, would be annihilated, and that was pretty much sort of a good thing. As a result of all of these deep-seated ideas, ancient religions and ancient peoples were not evangelistic. To the contrary, they were exclusive because they wanted to keep their own gods for themselves and be superior to everybody else. Now, it's not a whole lot different today. In our world, often people think that to be Japanese is to be Buddhist. To be Indian is to be Hindu. To be Greek is to be Greek Orthodox. To be Saudi is to be Muslim. And there are many people who still tie ethnicity and citizenship to religion. There are laws in many nations that you can't proselytize. You can't try to persuade someone to switch religions. And it is illegal to convert from the religion of the nation, of the people, to another religion. And something that we as Americans often don't understand is that that is considered a patriotic issue as well as a religious issue. It's all wound together. Now, this mystery of God that is told in the New Testament was a blockbuster. It was just contrary to all of this thinking because it said that the God of Israel is the God of all nations. He is the creator of everything. He is the one true God revealed in Jesus Christ, and that everyone should come to him, and the only way they can come to him is through Jesus. Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, barbarians, males and females, Asians and Africans and Europeans and Native Americans, rich and poor and young and old, Jesus is for everybody, everybody. Well, even the Apostle Paul was stunned by this, stunned by his own call to preach to the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden by God, by the way, the God who created all things. So this mystery is that the God of the Bible is not a local God, that he is the supreme being, that he is the creator of all things, and that the riches of God in Jesus are for everybody, even Gentiles, even non-Jews. And when God revealed this mystery, it was such good news that it was labeled the gospel. Good news. Well, but it was hardly received as good news by anything close to a unanimous vote. Because to many Jews, this was terrible news. Couldn't be worse. Because they wanted to be God's chosen people exclusively. They were totally different and they wanted to be totally different. And they did not want to share their God or their salvation with Gentiles. And as for the pagans, the Gentiles, everybody else, they pretty much considered it to be bad news as well, because they largely looked down on Jews and hardly wanted to adopt and worship the Jewish God. And they also certainly did not want to say that their religions were wrong and that their God was a fake. And in fact, to this day, we still have similar negative responses to the revelation of God's mystery. For there are Christians today who would just as soon keep Christianity to themselves. Let everybody else have their own religion, but let's keep this pretty much as an exclusive club. We've got a good thing, and it's good enough for us. And there are people of other religions who hardly think it is good news that they have to accept Jesus and that they should become Christians, and especially the difficulty of saying that their religion is mistaken and that their gods aren't gods at all. So here's the mystery: that the God of Israel is the God of all, that he sent his son to rescue humans from sin and death, and he offers this salvation to everyone, everyone who will believe and accept Jesus as Savior and thereby receive the rich and the eternal blessings of God. Now, if we can grasp that, and I don't think it's an easy concept for everyone to grasp, then let's read one more important statement about this mystery. This time, take a look at Colossians chapter 1. It's on page 1833. And just a few lines in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Remembering that it's written in the first century, written by the Apostle Paul to a different audience, but referring to the same mystery in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the revelation, the explanation of this mystery of God is given to saints, and saints, in turn, are to pass this information along to everybody else, to Gentiles. So the question is, who are these saints? St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Mary, St. Andrew? Well, actually, the way the Bible approaches it, everybody who is a Christian is a saint. All Christians are saints. So you can't be a saint without being a Christian. You can't be a Christian without being a saint. The word actually means holy, or more specifically, holy one or holy person. You say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but hardly do I think of myself as holy. I don't feel holy. But the truth is that God says that you are holy. So as far as I'm concerned, if I'm choosing between the way you feel and what God says, I think he's smarter than you are, so you are holy. Oh, and you're starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable with this, but let me just give you permission. Feel free to use the title. I mean, that's you, saint. So that when you fill out your information card at church, you know, it says Mr., Mrs., Ms., Doctor. Just cross all that out. Just write Saint with clear handwriting. And if you want to get a customized license plate, I don't know who's going to be first tomorrow, but go ahead and get it. You know, it's only 5 letters. You got more space than that in a Minnesota license plate. So call up. If you want to abbreviate it with ST and you have a short first name, you can actually get Saint and your name right on your license plate for everybody to see. And you can introduce yourself that way. I mean, just, you know, you can do that. So I say, hi, I'm Saint Leif. And you say, oh, hi, I'm Saint Dan. And, you know, we can just do that. And that's absolutely exactly what the Bible teaches about Christians. I have a pastor friend who was talking about this, and he actually had everybody stand up in the church service and introduce themselves to the people around them and say your name, but put Saint in front of it. So you've got Saint Jim and Saint Joe. And anyway, after the service was over, these people came up to the pastor and said, well, we introduced ourselves to someone we didn't know next to us, and he wouldn't do it. And we asked him and we pressured him. And, you know, don't you love it when you go to church and people ask you and pressure you? And finally, I mean, we just gave up. And then when we were walking out, we said to him, okay, you don't have to say Saint, but what's your name? He said, Bernard. So feel free to use the title, but understand that you are a saint. That's you. Okay, you are a saint, so act like one. Act like a saint. You know, an embarrassing thing happened in the Gulf War in Iraq. American soldiers stole souvenirs and things of value to bring back to the United States or to make a profit. It's embarrassing. These are representatives of the United States of America wearing our country's military uniform. They have a mission, and the mission there is not to rob the people. The mission there is to help the people. And they did everything contrary to what they're supposed to do. That's not good. But understand that as Christians, we are commissioned in the cause of Jesus Christ at the rank of saint. And that we are to behave in a way that is in keeping with our rank. We should act like saints. We are the church of God's Son. And we're not here for our benefit. We are here for the benefit of others. Our mission is to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That God has revealed this mystery of eternity to us. It may not seem like it's that big a deal, but it couldn't be a bigger deal. This is a mystery that transforms sinners into saints. It is a mystery that changes the way we see people. For if there is anyone in the world who should see others with equality and without prejudice, it is Christians. That we no longer see people as Jews or Gentiles, as Greeks or barbarians. We don't see people primarily in terms of race or gender or whether they're Americans or foreigners. No, because we grasp the mystery that we are all the same before the same God. And it is a mystery that transforms the way we see the church. Because we don't see the church any longer as an exclusive club to service us and our needs and desires. We see the church primarily to serve others and to get the word of the mystery out to everybody else. And this mystery, it shows us what we are supposed to do with our lives. This is our mission, to make known the glorious riches of Jesus Christ. You are a saint. Behave like a saint. This is the mystery, Jesus Christ for everyone. And now, our Father, while we thank you for what you have done to transform us in the logbook of heaven from sinners to saints, we pray by your Holy Spirit that we may be changed here in the realities of this life, to be faithful to you, to understand the mystery, and to spread the good news that all can come to you through Jesus, your Son.